Okie dokie. Everybody, welcome to the September monthly meeting. Yay, I've got some enthusiasm from down the front. That's lovely. Can you guys all hear me okay back there? Excellent. That's what I was hoping to hear. Remember, we are recording. I do have the microphone. So if you're going to ask a question or say anything, make sure you get the microphone so that we can capture it on the recording. Has everybody had a chance to watch the monthly webinar? Excellent. Would you tell me if you hadn't? Oh, that's nice. Glad to hear. We've got the two screens set up so that if anybody from up the back needs to see, you've got a nice view. I'm happy with that. The rest of it I'm not happy with because I feel like I can't see you, Ben. Hi. I can see Fiona, but beyond Fiona. Yeah. They actually asked me if they could set the room up theatre style or like classroom style, and I said no. We need tables and we need to be able to actually write on them. So anyway, it's what we've got for tonight. So yeah, it's quite good if this table seems to have a lot of light on it. So it's really quite bright down here. Okay, so excuse me. Tonight we're looking at dual lot, single title, boundary realignment and house relocation. Quite a mouthful, quite a lot to jam into one webinar, but they all, whilst they're different strategies in and of their own right, they all kind of fit nicely together. So we'll tackle as per usual. Alrighty, so tonight, hopefully you've had a chance to network before we got started. We're going to do our usual stuff, some housekeeping, introductions, some accountability. We'll break for our networking break at about 8 o'clock for half an hour. And then when we come back, we'll get stuck into the exercise. And you'll see a couple of extra things on your table tonight. There's a plastic ruler that you will need one each. And you've already probably seen the fan tiles. We'll get to that in a minute. So, remember, as I said, use the microphone. Be involved, especially tonight, considering the shape of this room. It's going to be, you know, pretty hard for me to connect with everybody and to even get to you up the back. So try to do your best to join in and participate. Be supportive. If anybody needs to get some food or drink, if you haven't had dinner or anything yet, feel free. You're allowed to, you know, bring it into the meeting if you need to. All right. We do have a couple of, well, we have at least one welcome tonight. So we actually have a gentleman called Gus from South Australia. He's just recently joined Platinum. And he made it all the way over here for our meeting. So, Gus, would you like to stand up and just introduce yourself, tell people a little bit about yourself?
Oh, they didn't tell me. Well, this is unexpected. Well, as Narelle said, I'm from Adelaide. I'm very new to this. This is all very new to me. I'm really trying to get my head around it, trying to understand what everyone's talking about on Facebook and all that. So
it'll come.
Yes. Hopefully it'll get easier as I go along.
What's your background? What do you do?
Well, at the moment I'm working at South Australia's Autism Association, so I work as a client records officer there. So that's I'm hoping that the logical skills that I've developed over that in that time of sort of will help in this area.
But should do.
And my problem-solving skills and that sort of thing, and my attention to detail, and I am, yes.
Good for attention to detail. So, what are you hoping to get out of your Platinum journey?
That's...
I know, big question.
It's a big question. It's a very big...
Especially to put you on the spot like that.
Well, I'm hoping... I don't quite know how to explain it. I'm hoping to gain a bit of momentum in my journey on learning a bit more about real estate and becoming a little bit more independent financially and directing my life around where I think it should go instead of where my boss thinks it should go. And
love it. Yep. And we all agree with that, don't we? Give Gus a big thank you. Big welcome. Thanks, Gus. Gus will not be joining us in Melbourne every meeting, but has made the trip over this time, which we very much appreciate. And good on you for making the trip over. I don't think I've got anybody else who's new, do I? No, just Gus tonight? Okay, good. We'll get some housekeeping out of the way. I've been rabbiting on about the community profile for a little while now. Has everybody had a chance to jump on and update their profile? Please tell me yes. Oh, I've got some no's. He doesn't know. Okay, good. If you haven't yet, please jump on and update it. And remember that as people are updating their profile over time, it will change. So if you are looking for JV partners or you are looking for people who are doing the sorts of things that you're doing, you'll need to go back and regularly search. So it's something you might want to pop in your diary to do first thing Monday morning. Before you do anything else, go and check the community profile, see what's going on. Good idea? Okay, good. Especially for those of you who are looking for JV partners, because that information will be being updated on a regular basis. And don't forget, you can private message people within that community profile. So go and make sure that nobody's messaging you to check up on you, especially if you're putting, you know, deals and that sort of stuff up for consideration. You'll want to keep an eye on that space. The contact details for each of the Platinums in terms of at least their email address and mobile phone number should be there as well. So if there's somebody that you do want to contact, it should be easy enough to do. Okay. The Ultimate Purpose Charity. So this is something that we've been planning for a little while, wanting to add an additional level of meaning and purpose to what we do, not just for Platinum. This is across the I Love Real Estate community, which is why we've called it the Ultimate Purpose Charity. But we are looking for people in the Platinum group to be the committee that are running this. So to be part of the leadership team, that's only by invitation to Platinum. So you have to be a Platinum to be invited to that. If you have been shortlisted, if you nominated yourself and you've been shortlisted for a leadership role, then you should have received an email. If you haven't seen it, please check your emails to make sure that that's, you know, whether or not you've got that. And the applications and nominations for this will close on the 16th of September. And so we'll be choosing the leadership team and moving forward with our chosen charity. So stay tuned for more information about that. Events. We talk about this all the time, because we really want you to make sure that you don't miss out and RSVP early and get your, you know, travel and accommodation sorted so that you don't have a cost issue, because obviously the closer you get to the event, the more expensive it becomes. So we certainly don't want you to miss any of them. National Conference is coming up at the end of November, early December. It's in Sydney. And as always, we will get together for drinks on Friday night. We will spend all day Saturday together, including all of the meals. So the breaks and the lunch is all catered. And then Saturday night, for a small additional fee, we will all be going out for dinner together, so keep the Saturday night free. And then we get to do it all day again Sunday, hanging out. So it's a massive weekend of Platinum love. Well, that's how I view it. They're my favourite events of the year. And then don't forget, if you are a graduate of Platinum, you have the graduate-only leadership day on the Friday. So we get extra lovin' on the Friday. We get to spend all day Friday, Saturday and Sunday together if you're a graduate. So make sure that if you're coming, you RSVP to the event. And if you are a graduate, make sure that Knowledge Source knows that so that you are RSVP'd for the graduate day as well. And, of course, we let you know the venue for the event when you RSVP. And for the leadership day, it's usually closer to the event because we usually decide what location we're going to choose based on how many actually are RSVPing. Boot camp dates. We're coming up to boot camp season. So from the end of the September right through to November, we've got boot camps all over the country. Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, which is actually on the Gold Coast, Adelaide and Perth. The dates are all there. I'll be at 4 out of 5. So I'm flying all over the place for the whole of October. If you want to come along and revisit Ultimate, you're more than welcome to come. All you have to do is get yourself there. So if you can't come to the Melbourne one, get yourself to a different one. But it's always a good idea to come back and revisit Ultimate, because there's so much jam-packed into that event that listening to it a different way, from a different perspective, for, you know, a different time, and with different presenters, because the coaches are the ones who are presenting it. We don't always go to every boot camp, so we'll do different sessions, and you might find a little gem that somebody's come up with that you haven't heard before. So if you're around in the Melbourne weekend, please feel free to come along. Otherwise, if you want to go to any of the others, feel free to book yourself in. And again, all you have to do is RSVP to Knowledge Source. Similarly, for I Love Real Estate Super Conference, it's coming up in November. So the 22nd to the 24th of November, always a fantastic event. Who's been to Super Conference before? Almost everybody. Excellent. If you haven't already seen, there is a video on the Ultimate and Platinum Facebook pages asking for your stories. So if you want to nominate yourself as a success story, if there's a deal or something that you've got on the go that you think is worthy of putting forward, you can put in your application to be considered for one of the finalists for the Super Conference. So think about that. You've still got a little bit of time to get that in. So if you're still, you know, wrapping things up or finalizing some items, that's fine. More than welcome to still submit your story. It might be chosen. And I don't know if you've been watching Christine's posts from Hawaii. I mean, how awesome does that look? Who wouldn't want to win that? And she got second, right? She didn't even win first prize. Natasha got first prize and she got to go to Tuscany, which I will be in 2 weeks' time. Just saying. Sorry. And then don't forget, there's a bunch of quantum events still to come. We've got the Fast Profits Extreme Income, first weekend in November. So that's the Melbourne Cup long weekend. Runs from the Friday to the Monday. So Fast Profits is Friday, Saturday, and Extreme Income is Sunday, Monday. It's on the Gold Coast every year. So if you haven't been to that before, great event to come to. And we've still got a commercial boot camp coming up in Melbourne in September. Check the website. If you're interested in commercial, even if you've already been to the commercial boot camp, I highly, highly recommend you go again, because this event will be different. This commercial event in September is being done by Melissa, Greg and Nicole. Three absolute legends in terms of commercial deals. Where? Melissa, Nicole and Greg? Not Helen Turrant. Here in Melbourne. So there's no excuse for any of you not to be there unless you've got something else that's absolutely desperately unmissable. It is, yes, 21st and 22nd of September. Yeah, probably because the admin hasn't caught up with the practical reality of the changes. No idea. No idea. Double check with Knowledge Source. But definitely, if you've been before, come, because this will be a completely different event, and it will be amazing. I've been talking to Nicole. I would be there if I was not in Tuscany. let's see how many times I can mention that tonight. So if I wasn't going away, I would be there. Yeah, well, I'm actually going over with one empty suitcase so that I can come home with an extra full one. That's the plan anyway. So, yes, if you haven't been, please come. It's going to be awesome. I've been talking to Nicole about it and I'm a bit jealous. I'm glad it's being recorded because I'm going to watch it. Okay, I don't have anybody graduating this month. Hani Fernando would have been graduating, but we caught up with her last weekend at the Underground Millionaire and gave her certificate and her crystal then, because she wasn't going to be here tonight. So unfortunately Hani is not here to say goodbye, but I'm sure we've all had a great chance to catch up with her anyway. And I don't have anybody else's certificates. Craig, you're October, aren't you? Yeah, great. So that's next month. I don't have anybody finishing up for September, and Hani was actually technically August, but anyway, doesn't matter. So yeah, nobody graduating, so we can blow a streamer for no one. Moving on. All right, let's get on with the content. So Tonight, we're looking at something really very interesting. And the first time I learned about this, it actually surprised me quite significantly, to be honest. And so we're going to talk about this one quality which 40 years of Stanford research has found actually does dictate success more than any other quality. So there's this one thing that is a very, very high indicator that people will succeed if they have this one quality. Anybody know what it is? Yeah, delayed gratification. We're going to talk about why. So this is the research. In the 1960s, a Stanford professor named Walter Mischel began conducting a series of important psychological studies. During his experiments, he and his team tested hundreds of children, and most of them were around the ages of 4 and 5 years old. And what was revealed was what is now believed to be one of the most important characteristics for success in health, work and life. The work was published in 1972, and this popular study became known as the marshmallow experiment. But it wasn't the marshmallow, the treat, that made it famous. The interesting part of this experiment and study came many, many years later. Now, for those of you who have seen this before and were here last year or the year before that, you will know that we did have marshmallows last year, but do you know what happened? Everybody said that they don't like marshmallows. Which is why tonight you have a fantail instead. You don't like, oh, really? Okay, so put your hand up in the room if you like marshmallows and would have eaten the marshmallow. Okay, and now put your hand up if you like fantails and you would have or have eaten the fantail. Yeah, it's a little bit further in favour of the fantail. But not much. Okay, so what would have gotten your attention? A lint ball? Fried chicken. Oh, my goodness. That is chocolate. It's chocolate wrapped around caramel. Oh, man. Chips. A packet of chips. Ferrero. Anybody else in favour of the Ferrero? No? I'm getting no's from up the back. Lint balls? Is a lint ball going to do it? Fantails are good. Well, about half the room put up their hand that they would be enticed by a fantail. We're trying to work out what it is that's actually going to be, you know, tempting for you. Anyway, let's move on to the experiment. So, the experiment began by bringing each of the children into a private room and sitting them down in a chair. In front of them was a marshmallow on the table. And at this point, the researcher offers the deal to the child. The researcher told the child he was going to leave the room, and if the child did not eat the marshmallow while he was away, they would be rewarded with a second marshmallow. However, if the child decided to eat the first marshmallow before the researcher came back, they would not get a second marshmallow. So who's already eaten their fantail? Oh, look at you guys. All right, so the choice was simple. One treat now or two treats later, okay? Now, as you can imagine, the researcher left the room for 15 minutes. And they videoed the kids while the researcher was gone. So as you can imagine, the footage was really quite amusing. And the children waiting alone were really quite entertaining. Some of the kids jumped up and ate the first marshmallow as soon as the researcher closed the door. Others wiggled and bounced and scooted in their chairs as they tried to restrain themselves, but eventually gave in to temptation a few minutes later. And finally, a few of them did manage to wait the entire time, the whole 15 minutes. Some of them even took a bite and then put the rest back. So this research was all about the power of delayed gratification. As the years rolled on and the children grew up, the researchers conducted follow-up studies on these kids and they tracked each child's progress in a number of areas. And what they found was very surprising. The children who were willing to delay their gratification and waited to receive the second marshmallow ended up with higher SAT scores, lower levels of substance abuse, lower likelihood of obesity, better responses to stress, better social skills as reported by their parents, and generally better scores in a range of other life measures. Excuse me. The researchers followed up the children for more than 40 years, and over again, The group who waited patiently for the second marshmallow succeeded in whatever capacity they were being measured in. In other words, this series of experiments, it proved that the ability to delay gratification was critical for success. Are you impressed? Well, I think that's fascinating. Now, it gets even better. So examples of this are everywhere. If you delay gratification of watching television and get your research done, your target area research that Narelle has asked you to do, then you're more likely to find a deal. And it sounds really simple, but it is simple. We need to put the reward after the effort, not before. If you delay the gratification of buying desserts and chips at stops, then you'll eat healthier when you get home. Right? So if you swing into McDonald's on the way home, you won't eat well when you get home. Yeah, that's that idea of delayed gratification. If you delay the gratification of finishing your workout early and put in a few more reps, you will get stronger. And success usually comes down to choosing the pain of discipline over the ease of distraction. And that's exactly what delayed gratification is all about. So, did some children naturally have more self-control and therefore were destined for success regardless? What do you think? Do you think that's true? Who put up your hand if you think that some of these children naturally were predestined, if you like, to resist the marshmallow? Or is this something that we can learn to develop? Depends on the environment. Okay. So most of us think we can learn this skill? Okay. But you still think some of them would be better at this than others? Just naturally. Okay. Hold on to that thought, because we're going to see what the experiment proved. You're on the right track there. So, the researchers at the University of Rochester decided to replicate the marshmallow experiment, but with a small and important twist. Before offering the children the marshmallow, the researchers split the children into two different groups. The first group was exposed to a series of unreliable experiences where, for example, the researcher gave the child a small box of crayons and promised to come back with a bigger one, but never did. And again, the researcher gave the child a small sticker and promised to return with a better selection of stickers, but never did. Meanwhile, the second group had very reliable experiences. They were promised a bigger box of crayons and they got them. And they were promised a better selection of stickers and they got them. You can imagine the impact these experiences had on the marshmallow test. The children in the unreliable group had no reason to trust that the researcher was returning with another marshmallow. And so they would not wait very long to eat the first one. Whereas the children in the second group were training their brains to see that delayed gratification was a positive thing. It actually worked. And every time the researcher made a promise and then delivered on it, the child's brain registered two different things. Waiting for gratification is worth it, and I have the capability to wait. Fascinating. So as a result, the second group waited an average of 4 times longer than the first group. And you can absolutely see how this plays out in life, can't you? Right? So this idea of scarcity is absolutely critical to your response. If you don't believe that there's another fantail waiting for you, you'll eat that one. But if you trust me, which clearly you all do, you know that there's a fantail waiting for you, and you'll get the second one. This has a massive impact on our ability to delay gratification. If we're promised something and it doesn't come off, even if that promise was something that we perceived and isn't real, then our ability to delay our gratification with the expectation that something better is coming is diminished. Can you see that? So in other words, the children displayed their ability to delay gratification and display self-control was not a predetermined trait, had nothing to do with a natural ability, but it was absolutely impacted by the experiences and the environment that surrounded them. And in fact, the effects of the environment were almost instantaneous. Just a few minutes of unreliable or reliable experience was enough to push the actions of each child in one direction or another. So what's the meaning of all of this? If you want to succeed at something, at some point, you will find the need to and the ability to be disciplined and take action instead of becoming distracted and doing what's easy. And I don't know about you, but my experience for myself, as well as my observation of others, is that human beings are very good at letting themselves off the hook. Right? We're really good at it. Success is in nearly every field requires you to ignore doing something easier, in other words, delaying gratification, in favor of doing something harder, especially when we're trying to do something for the first time. And even if you don't even if you don't feel like you're good at delaying gratification now, you can train yourself to become better simply by making a few small improvements. Just like in the children's experiment, we can train our ability to delay our gratification like we can train our muscles in the gym. So promising something small and then delivering on it over and over again until your brain says, yes, it's worth it to wait, and yes, I have the capability to do it. So start incredibly small if you are looking to train yourself to be better at delayed gratification. Make a new habit so easy that you can't say no. Improve one thing by 1% and then do it again tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after. Maintain consistency and find a way to get started in less than 2 minutes. Does everybody remember the Mel Robbins 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? All right, so if you're having trouble getting started, count down from 5 back to 1. By the time you get to 1, get into action about it. So you've got this tiny little countdown. If you're, you know, procrastinating about something, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, do it. Get on with it. So how did you all fare? Did anybody eat the chocolate? Not one of you. Oh, Fiona. Well, now, that's a really good question. I've just been asked as a Mentos count. So the other thing I was going to ask you is who had a Mentos or a biscuit from the networking area instead of having the fantail? So satisfied their sweet craving for the fantail by saying, well, I'm going to be good. I won't have the fantail, but I will have a treat instead. Come on, be honest. Okay. A biscuit and a Mentos. Right. See, I should have asked the venue not to put out anything sweet, because then you really probably would have been tempted by the fantail. $100 note. Well, thank you for your honesty, because at least you're willing to admit that you let yourself off the hook. All right, so what can you do to train your delayed gratification muscle? Does anybody want to be so brave as to suggest what they might be doing, implementing? They see this as a thing they want to improve. I'll get you to say it into the microphone.
Remove all temptation for gratification.
Yep, so like what? What's one of the triggers that you're thinking of?
So like... Set yourself up in an environment where you're out of reach of everything that might distract you.
Yeah, that's good. So, like, for an example, I don't know how many of you do this, but if you're sitting down to do your target area research, on the couch in front of the television is not the place to do it. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I meant, yes. Yep.
And if you're trying to give up soft drink, don't have it in your fridge. If you're trying to give up chocolate, don't have it in the pantry. There's another example from a different Platinum meeting where we talk about a guy who put the treats, like, you know, the things that he really craved, across the, you know, yard, up a ladder in the loft at the back of a shed. So if he was in his house watching television, he used to sit down and eat chips. And so he would store the chips, like, in such an inconvenient location that it was more inconvenient for him to get up off the couch and go and get them, which meant he didn't actually eat them. So that's the sort of thing you can do too. Make sure that they're not anywhere near you so that you aren't facing that temptation. Anybody else want to make a suggestion of the sorts of things they can do to flex the delayed gratification muscle? I'll give you the microphone so we can get it on. Say that again.
Delete the social media apps from phone so that it's less distraction during office hours.
That's a good one.
You can focus on your work and get it done quickly.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea. If that's something that distracts you, then you might want to consider having a device where that is allowed. So one of the things, you know, one of the benefits or, you know, sort of features of things like Instagram and Facebook and everything else, they're all really readily accessible. You can have them on your laptop, on your iPad, you can have them on your phone, you can have them on everything. But if that's a distraction to you, take them off the stuff that you use on a regular basis, like your phone. Just delete the app from your phone. You're not deleting your account. You can still spend time on Facebook when you choose to. But delete it from all of the devices except one. Yeah. So then when you're sitting down to do your work, it's not pinging on your laptop every 5 minutes. Or turn your notifications off. Same with your emails. I don't know how many people like me get annoyed with emails popping up in the middle of what you're doing. I turn off my notifications. I don't want to know. I schedule the time to look at my emails. Sharon.
I think there's two things. Number one, write a list and tick it off, and then that tick gives you, you know, like a little reward thing in your mind.
Yeah.
And then separate to that is reward only when you've done it.
Yeah, I like that. And make the reward suit the event, right? So we're not going out and buying ourselves a bottle of champagne for having set up our spreadsheet. We can have a bottle of champagne when we've completed the deal. You can knock yourself out at that point. Spend as much as you like on your champagne. But, you know, like, there's a lot of ways that we can justify rewarding ourselves disproportionately. Oh, I've done 5 minutes of work. I'll go and spend half an hour on Facebook. No. Right. So we want to make sure that we're spending the effort and the energy on the stuff that's actually going to make a difference for us. Because if we're not making a difference, guess what? Things will stay the same. And that's not what we're here for. Anybody else want to suggest how you can flex the delayed gratification muscle? Sorry, Carlos, I'll get to you in a moment.
Do small things, smaller rewards for smaller tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be, you know, setting up a spreadsheet and having a chocolate. So you have a smaller win, and it builds up.
Yep, I like it. And I highly recommend that you, as Sharon said, write stuff down, but also write down how you're going to reward yourself when you've done it, so that that reward is compelling you. Yeah, if chocolate's your thing, then great. Have the chocolate when the spreadsheet's complete. Or buy the champagne when the deal has been done and the money's in the bank. But don't just sort of say, oh, well, once I get there, I'll remind myself. Actually put it in place. When you're putting your projects together, detail what are you going to do to celebrate when you're finished as part of the project description. What's the thing I'm going to reward myself with when this is done? And if you know what that reward is, it helps to keep you motivated. Helps to keep you going because you know that bottle of Bella Poke is going to be waiting for you. That's a really nice champagne, by the way. Highly recommend it for anybody who's about to complete a deal. Magnificent.
So I'm not sure how much this is, you know, helping you with your with the muscle. But this is something I read about a year ago in John Jian's blog, which I really liked. And that's that when you are in a better position, you will be able to make better choices. So if you have a good meal, you know, during the day, or, you know, it will be harder to fall for that sweet. If you are, and that goes for pretty much everything, you know, physical, psychological, financially. So the better position you are for something, the easier it will be to make the right choices. So something I've been trying to do, at least for myself, is try to always position myself in a better place in terms of, you know, having more inner strength, or, you know, having to, how to explain it, like, try to avoid those situations where things can go wrong. And just to give you an example, and this might not, I don't know if it makes sense or not, but there's a study that says that when people go to the movies, for example, to watch a scary movie or something that generates stress, they go for sweets. When they go and watch something that's, you know, like a rom-com, something like that, they go for salty food after that. Right? So, you know, so those little things that we might not even notice, but when you're under stress, if you want to avoid sweet things, or if you want to avoid eating more, then that's one of the things that you need to take care of, right? So pay attention to what you're doing and be aware of where you're at every point. And if you want to be able to make better choices, the idea is position yourself in a better place to be able to make that better choice.
Yeah, I like it. Thanks, Colors. And you touched on something that I'm a big fan of, which is self-awareness, right? A lot of the time, this stuff happens without us even noticing that it's happening. And the better your self-awareness can be, the more you can catch when you're watching, you know, television instead of getting the target area research done, or you're, you know, trawling through Facebook posts instead of doing whatever it is, like ringing the town planner. And the idea of the self-awareness being raised is not to beat yourself up, right? It's not an exercise in self-flagellation. It is an exercise in awareness. Because if you are unaware, you can't do anything about it. But when you are aware, you can make a different choice. So you want to set up your environment to make sure that you are focused, reward proportionate to the effort, but reward yourself. When there's something worth celebrating, celebrate it. And make sure that you are flexing that delayed gratification muscle as much as possible. Because we know, absolutely we know, that there's a very big link between people who are willing to do the hard work in order to get the reward and success. Make sense? Awesome. Alrighty. So, accountability time. Who's got their monthly goals and their weekly goal sheet with them? Two people. Really? Two people? Three people. Phew. It's going up. Any advance on three? All right. Time to buddy up. Find your buddy if your buddy is here. If you don't have a buddy, come down the front and see me and we'll buddy you up with somebody. Remember to spend some time for each of you talking about what's going on and sharing. And before we go to our break, I'm going to get some people to share. So buddy up now, and I'll call you back before we go to our break, and we'll get some people sharing, and then we'll have our networking break. All good? Alrighty. If you haven't got a buddy, come see me.